You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to say thank you for having us here. You guys really are more like family than you even realize. We feel very close to you. This is my favorite church in the world, and I don't care if everybody knows it. That's fine. This is my favorite church, and of course, we love our church too. Hallelujah. We just started a brand new church, not too old, in Oklahoma. But we love you guys, and we just want to say thank you for all you do. You sow, you help on the mission field. Thank you for all you've done through the years. Thank you, Pastor Mark and Rhonda. Thank you, all of you. We are so grateful. I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of your neighbor and say, you are so good looking tonight. You look better than Robert Redford, Canoe Reeves, or what, I can't say his name, Canoe, how do you say his name? I don't know, the Matrix guy, you are good looking tonight, come on, you are so good looking, watch out, praise be to God, oh thank you Lord, praise God, thank you Jesus, praise be to God, glory to God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, praise God, Ted, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You fit in the puzzle like a piece right in the perfect spot, you know? God designed for you to be here. He designed for you to be put into this place, in this position. God has placed you. But the puzzle's getting bigger. The puzzle's getting a lot bigger. Hallelujah. And you just, you know, as the puzzle grows, you're growing and your place and position and anointing, it's just going to keep getting better and better. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Praise God. Ollie, you've been faithful. Praise God. There's some great things ahead. There's some great things ahead. Oh, pray. Karabushi karabandalibichi. Oh, ramandereveshe. Kenderveshe torovasta. There are great things ahead. You're special. I told you you were special. You are special. You're special, special, special. Don't forget how special you are. Special giftings and anointings and talents of heaven inside of you to do what God has called you to do. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The battle has been fierce for some of you. The battle. Fierce. A fierce battle. But the smoke is clearing. The fog is clearing, and when you look around, you see they're slain, but oh, it's not the slain of you, it's the slain of the enemy. And as you look around, hallelujah, you see a lot of blood, but it's not your blood, it's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God! It's Jesus' blood that protected you through the battle and kept you safe, and now you're on the other side, and you lift up your visor, and you're on the mountaintop on the other side, and you're like, glory to God, I'm on the other side of this battle! Wow, glory to God. And I'm standing up, hallelujah. Yeah, I got the blood on me, hallelujah. My sword, your sword is dirty. You got blood all over you, but bless God, you're on the other side. You're on the victory side. You're not walking through this valley anymore. Hallelujah, this valley has been bypassed, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus. And you're on the other side, and you're looking down. And you're looking down, and I'm telling you, the glory of God is greater, will be greater now than ever before. The power of God will be there. Has been a fierce battle, and the enemy is batting his eyes like, I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened, man. He got jack slapped, and his head got turned around. And boy, you got an overwhelming victory! Yeah! Hallelujah! And you raise that visor up, you know, oh, you know, I like those nights, and they raise the visor up. And you're looking across the mountain on the other side, but it's the side of victory. You done passed through that. You mowed them down, baby. You mowed them down. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As a fresh anointing, Pete and Travis, for you tonight. Fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh. Kabaska did it is, okay, fresh. And you raise that visor up and you're looking all across the other side. It's like, how'd I get here? How'd I get here, man? I'm telling you what, because you got legions of angels behind you. Hallelujah. There's more to be with us than to be with them. There's more on our side. We're surrounded, glory to God, by the angels and by chariots of fire. We will not be defeated, and we will not quit. We'll be redeemed by the blood. I'm getting to this, but you looking across the neck, you're on a mountain peak of victory. And you're looking across there, and there's more vision. There's going to be more vision now than ever before. Hallelujah. There's going to be more anointing. There's going to be more power. There's going to be more glory. There's going to be more giftings. There's going to be more anointings. There's going to be more finances. There's going to be more of everything you need, baby. More. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the battle has been won. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Amen. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hey, it's in Jim and Wanda. Thank you. I might need that. Jim and Wanda, your greatest victory has not yet been won. There is a victory on the way. It's bigger, better, greater than anything you have seen or imagined. And I see a diamond, a big diamond in the middle of a deal that's bigger than anything you, but look for the diamond. Look for that right in the middle. It's the biggest, the almost awesome thing you've ever seen. And God's given it to you. And it's better than you've ever seen or imagined before. The biggest deal coming your way. But there's a diamond in it, and it's many-sided, but you got to look for it, and the Lord's going to give it to you. Oh, glory to God. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God tonight. Amen. Glory. Well, if you have your Bible tonight, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Lord, just get all over them tonight. Just get all over them. Thanks for my glasses back. Yes, sir. I just got these, you know. I throw them out and they just keep coming back. See that? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me. Probably didn't take him too long to get over there to him, did it? Came over having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. Now, what do you think that coal did to him when it touched him? How much power do you think was in that coal from the very altar of heaven? When you touch heaven through your prayers, get ready for the coals of fire to touch you, my friend. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." You know, I hear the Lord saying that these days as well. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not just saying you got to go to Timbuktu. You got to go, hey, Opal, good to see you. I'm not saying you have to go over to Nigeria or Nairobi, or you got to go to Thailand or the Philippines. But you know what? We all need to be ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." If it's across the street, everybody in here is called to win souls. He said, "If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Everybody in here is called to reach people. Amen. Don't just invite somebody to church. Bring them to church. You just go get them next week. Let's just double up next week. I want you to go get somebody. Go find them and bring them. Don't just invite them. That's the easy way out. You say, "I'm coming to show up at your house, and I'm going to bring you to church." What are you talking about? Then you show up, and they're going to come because you showed up at their house. That's what I did to get my wife. She said, "Don't come," and I showed up anyway. And we got married after that, so it does work. Whom? It did work, didn't it? Who shall I send? God is always looking for a man. He's looking for a woman who will obey him. When Pastor Mark heard last call to Huntsville, right? Last call to Huntsville in the airport, he obeyed God. He knew God sent him here, that called him here, and he obeyed God. Are you not glad he obeyed God?
Yes.
There are many people's lives that will be changed and blessed because you obeyed God. Everybody say, I will obey God. You know, God loves to choose nobody and make them somebody. I've seen that so many times in the people that God's brought to us to work with us in the ministry. People that had no name, no nothing, and God would raise them up to be great ministers of the gospel or great whatever they were called to do. God would raise them up. He takes the poor from the dust of the ground and he puts them with princes. It's like my wife said this morning, I'm from Claxton, Georgia, the fruitcake capital of the world. Should I tell that story? All right, I'll tell that story. I was in basic training in the Army, and you know, I was a teenager, and I was this thin. Those days are gone forever. I was this thin, you know, and we were doing a drill by our bunks in the World War II barracks. I was in the, you know, training to go on the infantry. And so the drill sergeant, he thought I did something wrong, but it wasn't me. I promise you, I did not do it. He came over to me, and he had that big old round hat on. He said, "Soldier! Where are you from?" And I mean, just spitting all over me. I thought he was, you might as well have been a lion. I thought he was going to eat me. I'm, you know, a little teenager and I'm skinny as a beanpole. And the only thing that came out of my lips was, "Drill Sergeant, I'm from Claxton, Georgia, the fruitcake capital of the world, Drill Sergeant." And he started laughing. He laughed for 10 minutes and he just walked out. He left us standing at attention for an hour by our bunks. He liked me after that, though. He liked me after that. But he did call me fruitcake. Praise God. So if God will take a fruitcake and use him, he can take anybody and use him. Amen. I was invited, and I pray that there be a coal of fire that God would place in your heart tonight to touch people. And ask the Lord what to talk about tonight. And you know, in my heart was to talk about the world and talk about souls and talk about missions, and not just missions overseas, but right here in Madison, Alabama. There's so many people. You got a mission field in your own backyard. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to talk about?" And it just really dropped in my heart to talk about a love for people and reaching people. I remember I went to Manchester, England. A friend invited me to preach in Manchester, England. And I flew in and he picked me up and we went to his house and I preached in his Bible college there. And I was preaching and then one day he said, "I want to pray with you a little bit." So we came in his living room. We were praying in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, "I love to pray in the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do that. Hallelujah. I love to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Why do we need to pray out mysteries? We need to pray out mysteries so that revelation comes to us. It's not supposed to stay a mystery. It's supposed to be revealed to us. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, mysteries are revealed to us by the Spirit. That's why we pray in the Spirit. Amen? Revelation. Whoa. You may have... Come on up, honey. Just kidding. Oh, man. I got to go in there, didn't I? Got a little frog there. My voice box kind of came out when I was shouting a while ago. Oh, Jesus. My honey, you might have to come up here. Isaiah, there we go. 45. Isaiah 45, 13 and 14. I've never lost my voice preaching in 25 years. This would be a first time. So anyway, I'm praying with my friend. And we're praying 2 hours in the Spirit. And suddenly, it was like the glory of God came in the room. And it was like Cairo. I could see Cairo. You might want to come on up here, honey. I'll have you preach with me and tag team with me. Cairo showed up. It was like the sun came in the room, but it was the sun of righteousness. The glory of God came in that room, and the power of God came in that room. Glory to God. And I mean, I saw Cairo like the sun. I'd never been to Cairo. I never even cared to go see the pyramids. I never cared to ride a three-hump camel.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't care to ride a two-hump camel. I have let the last camel I was around tried to bite me. And I thought, I don't want nothing to do with these crazy camels. So, you know, I saw Kyra came. It was like the sun in the room. And I knew, you know, it was divine revelation from praying the Spirit. I knew at that moment, God has sent us to Cairo. I had no idea. I had no idea that it was the birthing of many Bible colleges. It was the birthing of many ministries. It was the birthing of a ministry that would go all around the world. And it would begin in Cairo, Egypt. We used to help another ministry plant Bible colleges. But I didn't ever realize that God was going to have us plant our own set of Bible colleges. So here we are in that prayer time. Cairo just suddenly is like the sun. It's just woof, the glory of God, the power of God in that room. So I went to Cairo and I met a young man. His name was Nader Michelle. And we started talking. I exchanged my phone number with him and him with me. We weren't supposed to do that on that trip, but I felt like I was supposed to know this guy. The only person's phone number I got was Nader Michelle. And when I came home, I was at your church, staying in your back bedroom, in that middle bedroom, that guest bedroom, and he called me right in your house. Remember that? And he said, "This is Nader Michelle from Cairo, Egypt. The Lord just spoke to me and told me to totally submit myself to your ministry and do whatever you tell me to do. So, sir, captain, what is it?" And so I went back in, and we started Explorations Bible College. It started with 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 campuses. Now it's beginning to spread all over Europe. It's just exploding like a fire right now. But all of it came in a time of prayer. I tell you what, God has divine things for you in this life. Amen? Things beyond what you can dream. Things beyond what you can imagine. Amen? I was walking in Nader's house one day. Some of the most powerful men, honestly, in the church world in that nation have come and begin to work with Explorations in Egypt. And that nation, that work has become renowned in that nation. All the glory be to God. Say all the glory to God.
All the glory to God.
But I had no idea. It was a surprise. God's got some surprises. Have you ever opened up a Cracker Jack box? Has anybody ever eaten Cracker Jack?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why I used to like Cracker Jacks. Man, I like Cracker Jacks. Did you, Pastor Mark and Ronnie, did you like Cracker Jacks? Yeah, you know, you got that little prize in the bottom, and you know, you may eat a few, but then you dig down and you get all sticky and you gooey, and you pull up, and there's that little prize, and you're all excited about it. God's got some prizes for you, amen? And I was walking through Nader's house one day. This was in the beginning days of that ministry, and I heard the voice of the Spirit say to me, "I give you Isaiah 45, 13 and 14, clear as a crystal." Holy Spirit said, "I give you Isaiah 45, 13 and 14, clear as a crystal." Said, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways." Where did my glasses go? Excuse me. "He shall build my city and let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord, the only Savior, thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt in the merchandise of Cush and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours." Now, the Sabians, I think that was kind of South Sudan area and all that. Ethiopia, Sudan, men of stature shall come over and they shall be yours. They will walk behind you. They shall come over in chains and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you saying, "Surely God is in you and there is no other. There is no other God." Recently, we started a campus in Stuttgart, Germany, where all the refugees are coming in. You know all those refugees coming into Germany? They're coming right in, right where our Bible college is. And a guy just connected, who is the director of Germany, who connected with us. He was in the hospital with us. I think it was his brother. And he was with his brother, and two Christians walked in Sudan into the hospital. And when they walked in, they said, "Can we pray for your brother?" Well, he'd been trained to kill Christians. This man I'm telling you about. He'd been trained to kill. He hated Christians. And so, you know, he said, "I just wanted to kill him." And he said, "But what would it hurt for him to pray for my brother?" So he came in and they laid hands on him. He was on his deathbed. He pulled the tubes out and got up and was instantly healed. My friend gave his life to Jesus and was totally cut off from his family. As a matter of fact, if he goes back, he'd probably be killed. But he moved into Germany, married a woman, and now he's got a ministry all over Europe. And God has brought us together for such a time as this. I tell you what, God has divine connections for you, my friend. Hallelujah. Praise God.
You are many things. Many things. But I'm going to tell you tonight, one thing you are for sure, as soon as I get rid of these crazy glasses. You are many things. But you are this message tonight. You are. This is you. You're many things. You're in here. There's mothers in here, and there's fathers, and there's brothers, and there's sisters. And there's lawyers, and there's house cleaners. And we're many things. Are we not many things? But there's one thing we all are. You want to hear it? It's found in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There is one thing you and I both are, my friend, and that is a minister of reconciliation. You are accountable to be that, and I am accountable to be that.
Amen.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. You are. I wish I could tell you that it was just me or just Russ or just your pastors, but you need to know tonight that you are an ambassador. You are a sent one wherever it is that you go, to your work, to your family, to your neighbor, to the city, to another country. You are a sent one. And if you don't know the other end of that, where you're sent to, then you need to seek God and say, God, where is that destination of my ambassadorship? Where am I sent to? Who am I sent to? Because ultimately, you're accountable for somebody. Right? He wouldn't make us a minister of reconciliation and not make us accountable to somebody. There is somebody, my friend, that you are responsible and will give an account for, or he couldn't call you a minister of reconciliation. You're not reconciling your dog. There is somebody you're supposed to reconcile and bring back to Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do it like I do it. Doesn't mean you're going to do it like Opal does it. It means you're going to do it like God has for you to do it. But you might as well own this message tonight. You might as well look in the mirror, and no matter what you're looking at, you might as well add to your repertoire, I am a minister of reconciliation. I stand in the gap, and I reconcile lost man back to Christ. Do you have to get beyond yourself to do that? You do. You know, before I ministered this morning, I told Russ this afternoon, I really just kind of got beyond myself. I said, I really don't care about me. I really don't care anybody thinks about me. Now, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I really don't care. I want to give him you, Jesus. I want to represent you well. I just get beyond myself. And for you to be that minister of reconciliation, you're going to have to get beyond yourself. And he's probably going to share the story about Cairo. And you're going to see that he had to get beyond himself when he's standing in the airport and they're saying, don't come. It's that bad. Now listen, Nader never says don't come. He wants everybody to come. I'll share. He wants everybody to come, and he wants everybody to come all the time. But this was your, how many trips had you been on, maybe? He's been on 20 trips now. I don't remember which one this was, but you remember not too long ago with the Arab Spring, and that all started in Egypt, and it was bad, my friend. And during the second revolution, Russ was in the airport in Tulsa getting ready to leave, and Nader calls and says, don't come. And the Spirit of God spoke to you and said, he said, go. And that trip made all the difference to those people. Changed their life, changed everything about them, set the ministry on fire because somebody cared. But he had to lay himself down. Because he got in a taxi and drove through streets of war to get to where he was going. And the whole thing that was taking place and going down switched and ended up over not far. How far? Yeah, 173 radicals were killed within a kilometer of where he was. And you know what you have to do that? You have to lay you down. I know sometimes we're shy. And I know sometimes we care about what other people think. But here's the truth of it. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid upon a cross, and he decided he didn't care what anyone thought. He did it for you. Amen. And if you will own this message tonight, it will change your life. You are, my friend, called to be a minister of reconciliation, reconciling the lost world back to Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. You're going, but you're going with power. When you walk out of the door of your house, that's the mission field. Amen, Pastor Rhonda. The mission field we went to. Pastor Rhonda and I and Judy Joe went to India together. That was our first trip. Thank you. That was our first trip. I was praying on my face before God in Bible college. And I was going to go to Russia. I had my plan. My plan stinks. God doesn't care about my plan. He wants me to do His plan. Because His blessing is on His plan for my life. Not on my plan for His life, for my life, but on His plan for my life. And I got on my face before God and in prayer school, and I was praying in the Spirit. And the minister said, right now, God's going to change the direction of some of your ministries. Right now, when I got on my knees, I heard the voice of the Spirit say, you're going to go to India first, and you're going to meet Rhonda. No, just kidding. Not that part. But he did say, you're going to go to India first. And you know, my wife, I met her, and she was already going to India. And she says, if you weren't going to India, buddy, I wouldn't have married you. I mean, that's how dedicated my wife is to the call of God. Amen. My wife is dedicated. My wife is so dedicated. She dated a guy for 4 years, and she cut it off with him, and she was coming back down to the Bible college and Oklahoma, and she was driving back down there, and you know, that guy wanted to marry her. You know, he really liked her a lot. I mean, he more than liked her, you know what I'm saying? And she's a very special girl, and you know, she broke up with him, and she was driving down to Tulsa, broken there, and she says, Lord, I'm not gonna date another guy until it's the guy I marry. And I asked her out the next day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How blessed can a man be? But the whole story is she told me no, actually. She did tell me no. She said no, but I will meet you at the banquet. So I decided I'm just going to show up at her house. So I just showed up at her house with flowers. And when she walked out the door, let me tell you, she looked like a little angel. And I was all happy to see her. But I didn't know what she was going to do. You know, she's a tiger. She's a tigress. That's a girl tiger, right? Tigress. And I was there. I was just hoping she wasn't going to get me, you know. She wasn't going to do this. Tell me to get lost, buddy, for the rest of my life. That was it. 7 months, we got married. And we went to India. It's not my will, but His. You know, when you put your life in Jesus' hands, you say, Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. There is a cup for you to drink, and it is a cup of God's plan for your life. Are you willing to drink the cup? Jesus said, not my will, but your will in the garden. And He sweat as if it were great drops of blood. Amen. I believe that one of the greatest battles He fought was not just on the cross or after the cross. I believe it was right before the cross. It was right in the garden. He had to decide, I'm going to do this thing. Yeah, He was the Son of God, but He was in a human body. And I'm telling you what, it says He was in anguish. Sweat as if it were great drops of blood. But He said He was going to drink that cup. And I tell you, there's a cup for you to drink. And in that cup is the beautiful plan of God. It's amazing. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And your anointings and giftings are in that cup more than you could dream or imagine. Amen. I would not take anything for that cup. That cup means everything to me, and it is called the will of God for my life. I will not compromise anything for the will of God in my life. Whether He sends me to India, amen, and we drink out of a pond where cows are bathing. Remember, Sister Pastor Apostle Rhonda Rita Garver.
We drank out of a pond that the people were going to the bathroom right over there, and the cows were bathing out of. And we used a water filter to filter the water. The guy made us drink it. And let me tell you, it did not taste good. That was the nastiest water I ever tasted in my life. But you know what? I was in the will of God. Thank God, I was happy to be in the... We had plane tickets. Remember the round trip? We used to buy those round, open-ended tickets. No, I'm not going to use an open-ended ticket. I'm going to be ready to do anything at the beckoning of the Spirit. I'm going to be ready to do anything when the Holy Ghost says go, when the Holy Ghost says do this, when He says do that. Amen. I'm going to be ready to move. Why? Because it's the key to miracles. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. When Jesus turned the water into wine, what did Mary say? She said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. You want to know the key to miracles? It's whatever He tells you to do, do it. But we position ourselves to hear. We position ourselves in times of prayer, in times of seeking Him, in times every day when we're spending time with Him, we position ourselves to hear. Amen? And when I was praying, I heard, go to India first. So we went to India. But then when we went to India, then we went to Ukraine, and then we ended up in Tallinn, Estonia. But when I was in Tallinn, Estonia, the Holy Spirit kept speaking Barcelona to me. Barcelona. So we ended up going into Barcelona, Spain, and starting our own, the first set of Bible colleges in Barcelona, Spain. And it just kept going. We moved to Bangkok, Thailand. Then we moved to Manila, Philippines. But I never dreamed that God would have us start our own set of Bible colleges. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you love people? We can't get close to Jesus and not love people. Let me try that again. I love people.
Yeah.
Everybody say, I love people. Say it again. I love people. Again. I love people. Again. I love people. Because that, my friend, is what the whole thing is about.
That's right.
For God so loved the world. I want to put a little heart for people in you tonight. A heart for missions, not just missions around the world, but mission fields right here in Madison, Alabama. There are tens and tens of hundreds of thousands of people around us that need to know Jesus Christ. Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many?
Every.
Just a few? No. Who's called to tell people about Jesus? Say, I am called to tell people about Jesus. You remember the prophet Balaam? He went to go prophesy against Israel and the donkey stopped him. The angel was going to kill him and he beat the donkey over the head. Finally, the donkey said, what is wrong with you, man? You keep hitting me. I've served you faithfully all these years. And then his eyes were open. He saw the angel. The angel says, listen, if it wasn't for that donkey, you'd be dead right now. If God can speak through a donkey, my friend, He can speak through you. If God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through you. If God can use a Claxton fruitcake from Claxton, Georgia, He can use you. Amen?
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 How many of you remember Samson?
Yeah.
I want to read this real quick to you. Samson... In Judges 15, it says, when he came, Samson the Lehi, the Philistines came. Now, I would really like to be preaching like a house of fire right now, but I'm slowing down a little bit. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Have you ever felt that way? Said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh donkey bone, jawbone of a donkey, and reached down his hand and took it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. God's not looking for the most talented. God's not looking for the most educated. He's just looking for the pure of heart. He's looking for men and women like David, like we were talking about the Mighty Men Conference. Men and women after his own heart who will do all his will. Are there any David or Davidesses in the room? Amen. I remember, I'm going to have my wife share a little bit more, but I remember I was at a time of prayer in Claxton, Georgia. And I had come home from the military, and I was seeking the Lord. And the Lord showed me to go to Bible college. But during that time of prayer, the Lord showed me, go to the worst part of town and preach the gospel. So I got in my old Oldsmobile. The door was 60 feet long. Have you ever seen those doors? You can't even use them today in the parking lots today because the door is like, you know, it's like 20 feet long. You can't even open those big, long doors, you know? It was an old Oldsmobile convertible. I love that thing. And when you punched it, it acted like it wanted to go. It'd take about 3 seconds, and then it would just take off. Man, it'd go, whoa. I love that car. And I got down to the toughest part of town, and I got out. And I started walking down the street, right to the middle, man. I was going right to the middle. And I started walking right to the middle, and two guys started walking toward me. Well, I kind of figured out by what was going on, it looked like they meant me harm. You ever just kind of know somebody's going to want to harm you? And I just kind of figured out, this is not looking so good right now. You told me to come here, and I'm walking, and suddenly I get about 15 feet from these two teenage guys, about 17, 18 years old. And they looked at me, and they just stopped, and they pointed and said, what are you doing here? And I felt, when they said that, I felt a mantle fall on me, a fire. I felt a cloak of God. I can't even describe what happened. It just went on all over me. It just came all over me. It was like fire. And before I knew what I was saying, actually, I kind of like, who said that? Because I said, I came to tell you about Jesus. I was like, who said that? Well, I didn't say that. Who said that? And they stopped, and it was like they saw an angel. I'm not kidding. It was like they saw an angel. But I was standing there. You know what I mean? They stopped, and I started preaching the gospel, and people started coming from the houses. And before I knew it, there was this big crowd in the middle of the corner in the street in the toughest part of town. And people begin to give their life to Jesus, and it started a movement in the high school, literally with the basketball team. God began to move. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. I was in a church one time. I walked in this church, and Pastor Mark knows this place. Granger, Indiana? Clark, or
yes,
so, is that right? Yeah. I walked in, this is when I was a lot younger than I am now. I walked in there, and see, listen, 1 Samuel 10:6, I don't depend on my own strength or might. I tell you what, we got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit to help us. He's here to help us. I don't depend on myself because there's not much to me. You know what I'm saying? I depend on the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 10:6, in the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be turned into another man. And I didn't say that other part I just said. That was just praying in the Spirit. Sorry. Got excited there. And I walked in that church, and the pastor looked at me and says, you're preaching tonight. And I thought, no, I'm not preaching tonight. I had a brand new Bible, and I didn't have any notes in it. And I said, hey, I'm not. I didn't tell him, but I'm like, God, get me out of this. I am not ready. And he took me up to the front row of the church. Then he sat me right there with my pretty little, sweet little wife, right there on the front row, right on the corner. And I'm standing there. I said, okay, God, give me something. Just give me anything. I don't care one word. I don't care. Just give me something, Lord. And the Lord said, when your hands touch the pulpit, heard his voice just as clear as a crystal. He said, when your hands touch the pulpit, I'll give you your message. And I'm like, No. I said, now, Lord, don't you think it would be better for you to give it to me now so I can get ready? And then he spoke to me further. The word of the Lord came to me further. And I heard the Spirit say to me, what's wrong? Don't you trust me? And I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm just kidding. I don't care if I look like an idiot. I'm getting up there. When my hands hit the pulpit, the glory of God came on. The fire of God came on. We had a move of God in that church that night that I will never forget. And it felt like fire fell on top of me. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be turned into another man. You don't have to depend on yourself all the time. You got the Comforter. You got the Helper. You got the Intercessor. You've got the Advocate. You've got the Standby. You got the Power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, hallelujah, and you'll prophesy.
Amen.
Power, dunamis, explosive power. Inside of you, there's lightning bolts, glory to God. There's explosive power. There's dynamite inside of you. There's dynamite. There's dynamite inside of you, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Jeremiah 29:11, Russ alluded to it earlier. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. NIV is for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Does he have a plan for you? He has a plan for you, and I know you know it. And part of that plan is this message tonight. And the next part, we often stop at 11, don't we? But we're going to read 12 and 13. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I look at Russ's life, and behind this life is a man of prayer. And he probably wouldn't want me bragging on him, but I'm telling you, he prays more and he seeks God more than any person that I've ever met in my life. And not just erratically, but continually and constantly, he seeks the face of the Lord. And if you want to know what will get you into the plan of God, it is continually and constantly seeking the face of the Lord. You don't take a vacation from Jesus. You take a vacation from your busy life, but you don't take a vacation from Jesus. So let's look at verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. It is that simple. And you seeking him with all your heart looks different than me seeking him with all my heart. Amen. But you want to know what the key is to get you to your dream. It is this. You seek him with all your heart and you shall find him. And Russ said earlier, he was sharing about when something came upon him. And I didn't know he was going to call me up here tonight, but the Spirit of God knew. And he began to give me something in 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which was in you by the putting on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, okay, now we love the part about you fan the flames, stir up the gifts. Some says fan the flames. How did it get there? One way, not the only way, but one way, gifts of the Spirit, gifts of God comes to you are by the laying on of hands. And so I can remember there was a couple that laid hands on Russ and I, and we weren't looking for anything. We weren't asking for anything. But after they left, we began to operate in a gift that was on their life, a gift that they operated in. And from that day forward, we flowed in tongues and interpretation of tongues. How did the gift come? The gift came that day through the laying on of hands. And I didn't know which way the service was going to go, and you still might have more you want to say, but I do know this, there are gifts to be given tonight. I'm just telling you, it's like a big fat Christmas tree in the Spirit is hanging over your head, and it is covered with gifts. And now come on, if you go to your grandma's house, is there ever a gift with not everybody's name on it? And there's only one way you get that gift, my friend. You have to reach out and grab it and open it up. I am telling you by faith today, it is as the Spirit wills. I don't know what gift he's got for you, but heaven's got something. Heaven has got something, and I sense it in the Spirit, and it is weighty. It is weighty. And I don't know why, but I just absolutely love to lay my hands upon people. I do. I don't know why. It's this. I just love it. It's like I just can't even wait to do it. Oh, and I'm not talking dilly-dally around with every person for an hour and a half. Not that kind. That's great. There are times when that's appropriate. But I'm just talking get my hands on you, because there's something to be given by the Spirit tonight, and I know there is, and it is all by faith. Is that right? You can't sit back and say, well, I wonder if I'll get anything. You won't. You were saved by faith. You were filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. You were healed by faith. You prosper by faith. You receive gifts of the Spirit by faith. I'm not saying you can choose which one, because it's as the Spirit wills. But, buddy, He is willing in this place tonight, if you're willing. And if you'll reach out your hand of faith and receive, His hands are laid upon you tonight. If you want hands laid upon you tonight, this is optional. And you shall receive power, and you shall receive gifts. And there are things that some of you have been longing for, and some of you you bear witness when you see a certain gift up here operating, or you watch it on TV, or you read it in a book, and your inner man bears witness. It's like, oh, there's something in you that's just drawn to that. My friend, that is the Spirit of God on the inside of you saying amen and trying to reveal to you that that's part of your call. But we sit back and think it's shy and sweet and humble to just, I can't get up there, to just to just wait. We think it's just sweet of us to wait if God ever wants to get. Well, would Grandma be happy if you just waited and everyone opened their present, and a week later you come back and left yours under the tree? And then you come back at Easter and it's still sitting there. You come back Thanksgiving, it's still there. Now, Grandma wants you to open up your present. And it is time. For some of you, it's time right now. Do you know what I'm saying? It was already time. And now it's really time. Do I say something?
I praise God. Bradisho. Ebranzote. Nitonde bratahangere choho. Esahandre bukutaravandicho. Bezunde brandele gocielendere bahata. Koramanzito kahande chi. Mosahata hande. Mijunde kambuhontahade. Haha, bugadaya. Haha, tika.
So I see you. 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 I know you. And what you, my son, my daughter, are called to do. And this night, if you'll reach out your hand of faith and receive, things will be open unto you that you have only dreamed. For surely this church has come to such a time as this, and it is time now for all hands on deck, equipped and operating in the gifts that I do give. For I never called you to go in the power of your own might, but I said I would equip you. And for this reason, gifts have been given and released and unleashed, and in this hour like no other hour for the church. So I give unto you the gifts of my Spirit to operate in and to flow through you.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWALMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.